So, Apostle is going to unpack the word for this year, which is maximum kingdom manifestation. Amen. Glory to God. What I'm going to unpack is the part of a year of divine timing, a year of Kairos. Because I shared before that this is 2024 is our due season. That there are Kairos moments, there are set appointments, set times in the Lord that we are just waiting to arrive to. And so let's break down what the word Kairos means. The word Kairos is a Greek word. It means a set or a proper time. It talks about an opportunity, an opportune time, a convenient time. It also refers to a due season. It talks about a right proportion, a just measure. It's talking about a fit time, proper season, appointed time, set time, certain season, a definite time or a definite season. So we are stepped into a season of the proper time, of an appointed time. Now, the reason why that's important, because Kairos measures time qualitatively, meaning that Kairos measures time by the quality of the event. There's a synonym for it called Chronos, which measures time altogether. Like Chronos is like time, like how we would measure days, hours, and minutes. But Kairos is specifically about events. And it's about a time of accomplishment. And it's characterized by the influence or prevalence of a thing. So in this divine Kairos time of this year, we're talking about the quality of events, the quality of encounters, not just the number of encounters. So to be in alignment with what God is doing, we cannot look at things from a place of religion and say, I prayed, checked it off the box. It's not that you did the thing, but it was the quality and the experience within doing the thing. Because people can go through the motions and wonder why nothing is happening, and the person that's not going through the motions can have something happening because they are resting in the Kairos of God. There's a scripture in Proverbs in the Classic Amplified. We all know it. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. But the Classic Amplified was says, no toil can increase it. See, in this season and in this year, there would not be a toiling. Because many have tried to toil to get the blessing or the results of God. And okay. Thank you, Jesus. So there's no toiling. There's an unforced rhythm of grace. We talk about that all the time. But in Kairos moments, we in this season of Kairos, of divine timing, we are stepping into the unforced rhythm of grace. The unforced timing. See, many, and this is what the Lord was telling me this morning, many are trying to be like Jacob when he's called us to be like Israel. Jacob, that name meant supplanter. Even though there was a word spoken over him about him being the head, even though he was the younger and God was doing something new. Because, catch this, by the Spirit of God. Because there was a new thing that God was doing, because during that time, the oldest was always be the head after the father. But the Lord spoke to his parents and said, no, the older were served than younger. Say new thing. Even though there was something established, God was doing something new and said the older is going to serve the younger. But when he came out, it was prophetically shown, because when Esau was born, Jacob was born right behind him, grabbing the foot of Esau. And his parents, I heard one person say his parents gave him the wrong name because they called him Jacob as a result of that. And so some have a word, a destiny, but they're trying to supplant and hustle to make it come to pass. They've allowed if I could just use the hood term, that hustler mentality to approach how they lay hold of the promises of God. They think they have to manipulate and do a thing when that's not the case. See, when God changed Jacob's name to Israel, he was saying, look, you don't supplant, you are a prince. You receive. Princes don't have to hustle, they receive the inheritance of a king. And so some in the body of Christ are trying to receive and walk out their promises like Jacob instead of like Israel. And in this season, we need to come to the reality of who we are in God, recognize our name has been changed, and so we have royalty, and we don't have to hustle, we just have to receive and walk with God. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we're going to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. But before I read that, let me read to you this prophetic word from our apostle. He shared it New Year's Eve night, but recently on a meeting with Reconciliation Ministries, he shared it again. And It was so powerful. It was powerful the first time I heard it, and it was powerful the second time I heard it. And it's powerful now when I read it. So check this out. Our apostle said, you've endured the hardships, pain, disappointment. You've navigated through unplanned and unanticipated change, but you didn't murmur, didn't complain, didn't blame, didn't give up, didn't quit. But you allowed Holy Spirit to lead you through it, teach you through it, and now in 2024, you will see the fruit of your disciplined approach to life's challenges. It's your harvest season. If you receive it, just say, I receive it. And then on the meeting, he said, part of maximum kingdom manifestation is unprecedented harvest resources, and some will have debt eliminated. I was like, Jesus, come on. And so we need to understand in this due season, we're going to see the fruit of what we have sown in 2023. Many of you were wondering why things didn't work in 2023. We just didn't recognize it was seed time. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest time. Now, I'm not trying to pump you up, but you just need to know that this is harvest time. And I know people yell that all the time, and we've heard that for 20, 30 years. In 1996, they were saying it's harvest time. But I'm telling you, it is harvest time. Every seed that was sown, your seeds of obedience, your seeds of faithfulness, every prayer that you prayed, every word that you declared, every act of kindness, it is harvest time. Somebody say harvest. The stuff that you did that nobody saw is harvest time. Harvest time. Hallelujah. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man or a person, this is talking about mankind, sows, this, say this. This he will also reap. So don't let the enemy try to bring deception and make you feel like your faithfulness was for nothing. That you prayed and nothing happened. That you served and nothing happened. That you showed up like God told you to and nothing happened. Don't be deceived. You were just sowing seed. And it said, this you will reap. See, sometimes when you sow a seed, it just has to stay there for in the ground for a minute because it has to be watered. And somebody said fertilize. And we know what fertilizer is made up of. And so you felt like you was dealing with a bunch of, it was just fertilizing your seed. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's why it matters where you sow and how you sow. You can't sow just to your own fleshly desires all the time and think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Even though you saved. He said, but the one who sows to the Spirit. Now that word Spirit is capitalized. So when you are praying, when you are faithful, when you're speaking words of faith, when you refuse to complain, when you're serving, you're sowing into Holy Spirit. You're not sowing just anywhere. It's not like, well, I'm doing this for them and they don't even appreciate me. It's not that. You're not doing it for them. You're sowing into Holy Spirit. Lisa, you're sowing into Holy Spirit. It's your harvest time. All them years of helping clean that nobody sees, nobody knew except for the people that's knowing now, except the people who came and saw you. They didn't see you up here on Saturdays or early on Sunday morning doing the things because you just wanted to make sure the house of God looked good. It is harvest time. And I'm telling you, I know the Bible says seeds produce after their own kind, but God can choose how your harvest is going to come. So don't think somebody's going to come clean your house because you cleaned somebody else's house. No, but God is going to cause fruit to come forth, the areas of your life that you need the most. And not only need the most, but that you desire. Hallelujah. 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 It said it sows into Holy Spirit. When we do that, we will reap from Holy Spirit, eternal life. Now, people will read that and think it's talking about when we get to heaven. We sow into Holy Spirit, and when we get to heaven, we have eternal life. That's true. But the scripture says on earth like it is where? So there is a reaping of eternal substance that brings life to us that comes when we sow into Holy Spirit. This is how Moses can age, and it says his eyes didn't grow dim. This is how we can stop aging. This is how we can see life-giving substance be released from us. This is how we can step into a room and the world to say, oh, the room just lit up when you came in. It sure did, because that's glory on my life. While they're trying to use phrases to figure it out, you know that things light up and change because of the glory of God on you, because there's an eternal substance because you've been sowing into Holy Spirit. This is how people could get healed by the shadow of Peter, because of the eternal substance that he reaped, because he kept sowing. See, a lot of people think about sowing and reaping just in terms of money, but this says whatever. Then it says, let us not lose heart. in doing good. For in due season, this is due time, we will reap. Meaning that as we do good, as we continue to sow into Holy Spirit, there is a kairos for the reaping. And it says, if we don't grow weary, meaning that if we stop sowing into Holy Spirit during the time of sowing, then it will limit what we receive as a harvest when the kairos moment occurs. Because the kairos moment is going to happen. It is happening. Say it's happening. So whether we sowed or not, the kairos moment still comes. And well, if we benefit from it when we recognize the kairos moment while we're in it, and then recognize what we've sown before that we're reaping, and then we recognize that now we have, he gives seed to the sower so we can continue to sow, so we can continue to reap. We have to recognize the moment. You see, because some people think that certain things with God don't happen because we're not aware of it. But that's a fallacy. Because things with God happen whether we are aware of it or not, whether we participate in it or not. God is sovereign. He includes us, but he doesn't have to. And there are certain things he's going to do regardless of our participation. So set time is set time, whether we're ready for it or not. When the time of Jesus' return happens, it's going to happen whether people are ready or not. The rapture is going to happen whether people are ready or not. The move of God happens whether people are ready or not. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the King James. It says this: to everything, there is a season. Everything has a season. There's a season attached to everything. And it says, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Notice the time, the kairos, is attached to the purpose. This is where why we teach there are multiple purposes, but one destiny. There are kairos, set times attached to certain purposes under heaven. Remember, heaven operates outside of time. Remember, God lives outside of heaven and outside of time. And I know somebody's like, what? I thought God was in heaven. He is, but he also lives outside of heaven. Because remember, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens in the earth. So yes, he dwells in heaven, but he also exists outside of heaven. If he got his existence in heaven, then he would have had to be created. And God doesn't have a beginning or an end. He's always existed. So heaven operates outside of time. And remember, because we are in Christ, we're a new creature, right? In him we live, move, and have our existence. And where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. Far above every principality, power, and name that can be named. In the highest heaven. Outside of time. So we originate, our movements originate outside of time. But then they impact time to fulfill the purposes attached to the season. And so sometimes we, let's say this, we have to be in alignment with God to recognize that something originating outside of time is hitting the earth. And when we align with God and walk with Holy Spirit, we're able to move with Him to cause a specific purpose to be accomplished at the set time that God has ordained for it. That's why I said time is a tool. Let me show you something else. I gotta stop in a minute, but let me show you something else. Well, you know what? I'll say this because I want to show you something else to the something else I was just going to show you. Remember in 1 Chronicles, it talks about the children of Issachar. It says they understood the times. A lot of people quote it and say seasons, but the scripture writes it says times. So they understood the set time of God. And it, because they understood the set time of God, they knew when to gather with the rest of the warriors to David, because it was the set time for him to become king, even though he had been anointed for it years prior. See, a lot of times people talk about, well, I just got anointed. I'm anointed for this, anointed for that. Yes, you are, but is it the set time for you to function to the degree that you desire to? Because you're going to function in the anointing on your life because you just are. But to the degree that you desire, that there's a set time for that part. That's why we can't go ahead of God's timing. So check this out. So in this time of divine timing, the Lord said that there are going to be suddenlies that occur. We know what a suddenly is, right? Say suddenly. A suddenly is something that exists in eternity that breaks forth into time and space without warning. So during 2024, these Kairos moments that God has for us, you can expect suddenly, say suddenly. There will be some things that will happen for you suddenly. And it will seem like it's out of nowhere, but it's going to be out of eternity. Because remember in Isaiah, it says, behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? It says, now it is springing forth. Will you not be aware of it? We have to be aware of the thing that's springing forth. Say suddenly. Man, I pictured in my head, y'all were shocked when I said the suddenly part. I was like, suddenly. But check this out as I wrap this up for today. Not only must we be discerning and aware and in open to the suddenlies, because they are a part of Kairos moments. Remember, what's a suddenly is that which exists in eternity and breaks into time and space. So it was already there in the realm of the spirit, but the suddenly means it just suddenly breaks into the earth. Say Kairos. Now, we have to also be prepared, say prepared, for God to use us in a suddenly. A lot of times we hear about suddenlies, and we hear about it from a one-sided perspective about God doing suddenlies for us and on our behalf. But we have to recognize that this is another side to that coin, that God is going to use us in the midst of suddenlies to demonstrate the kingdom. Say suddenly. See, what happened? Ooh, man, I got so much I want to tell you, but we'll have to go there later. See, check this out. In John chapter 3, verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to read to you two different scriptures, and then we're going to wrap it up for today. But I want you to understand this suddenly. So John chapter 3, verse 8, it says this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from. See, with our technology, we try to track the direction of the wind with Doppler radar. We try to say, oh, the wind is going east or it's going west. But they can't tell you where it originated from. They could just tell you the pattern of its movement. And they can try to predict where it's going to go next, but that doesn't necessarily mean that happens. Which is why a lot of times they'll say something and then it's off and nobody gets mad. That's, you know, being a weather person is one of the only jobs where you can predict something and not happen and be okay. But it said, Jesus was saying to them, now this is after he told Nicodemus, you must be born again to even see the kingdom. And he said, they hear the sound of the wind, but don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Check this. It says, so is everyone, say everyone, who is born of the Spirit. Meaning, as a believer, people would not know how you originated or are doing what you do. They won't be able to tell where you come from or where you're going, because the same way the wind moves, you move. So people may say, oh, you came up out of nowhere. No, you didn't. It may seem like a suddenly to you, but it was the breath of God that I was moving with that caused me to meet this divine appointment. And people may say, oh, I guess you've been around for a while because you got something 5 years ago from YouTube. You better ask somebody. I ain't new to this. But it seems like I came out of nowhere, or you came out of nowhere, because you're moving with the wind of God and you are stepping into these Kairos moments. And not only are you moving with the wind of God for suddenly for you, but God uses you as an instrument for a suddenly for somebody else. Because when Paul had the encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was blinded. And then it says that he was in a room praying. And the Lord came to Ananias and said, look, Ananias, I need you to go to the street called Straight and inquire of one called Paul, because he is praying and he's seen you come lay hands on him. Say suddenly. See, these Kairos moments are going to involve you walking in obedience and being the instrument of God. It wasn't like Ananias. I know Ananias has free will, but it's not like he could opt out. God told him in Acts 9, verse 12, Paul saw you come lay hands on him so he could receive his sight and a vision. So you got to be the one to go. How many people that the Lord has called you to are praying and are seeing in a vision, you suddenly come to deliver what the Lord has said? Say suddenly. How many people have a Kairos moment and is waiting on you to meet them at the right time, like the Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well? Or like when Cornelius sent the people to Peter's house. Because while they were traveling to where Peter was, Peter had a vision that dealt with his mindset about the Gentiles. So by the time they knocked on the door, God said, the people downstairs are coming for you and you need to go with them. And he went, everybody got saved and filled with Holy Spirit. How many people's destinies are waiting on you to show up suddenly? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say suddenly. So remember, this is a year of divine timing. And it's not just about the timing of God to fulfill his word for you. It's about the timing of God to fulfill his word in the earth. And we all have a part in it. If we go ahead of God, the people we're supposed to be the suddenly for, we'll miss them. If we lag behind God, it'll be the same result. So we have to move in synchronicity with the breath and the wind of Holy Spirit. You receive that word? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.